Hey, welcome to the show, my fellow deplorables. I have a great guest for you today. I am interviewing Patrick Byrne from the America Project. He has lived quite an extensive life, and we're going to talk about some of the inside knowledge that he has dealing with the president, working with people in governments, and the corruption that he's found, whether it was from 2005 or to the election process. We're going to be talking about a hack that infiltrated so many levels of government, including the voting machines. I mean, it's going to be a jam-packed show, so you're going to want to stay tuned for this episode. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Hey, and I'm always looking for angel investors. So if you would support the show and you believe in what I'm doing, $5, $10, $15, $100 would be great. You can go to theambermayshow.com and click the donate button and become an angel investor of the program. I'd really appreciate it. Or you can go to theambermayshow.locals.com and become a $5 monthly subscriber. I could really use some financial support to help me do more things with the program. So that'd be a blessing to me. Find me on Telegram. I add always more content to Telegram, and you can find me there at The Amber May Show. So Telegram, The Amber May Show, there's more content there, or become an angel investor at theambermayshow.com. And while you're there, look on the promo section or click the links below in the description and support the patriotic businesses that are supporting The Amber May Show, because you get a discount and they support The Amber May Show. So please do that. Well, up next is Patrick Byrne right now. And only Patrick Byrne on the program today. I'm so excited to be speaking to him. Welcome to the show, Patrick Byrne.
Amber, it's such an honor to be on with you. Gosh, I feel like I'm in the presence of greatness. Thanks for having me.
Well, that's how I feel about you. I've been, you know, Clay has introduced in a roundabout way me to you because you were part of the Reawaken tour, and that's when I got to find out about you and hear about your stories. And let me tell you, first of all, I get so intrigued every time you talk. You have a way of like drawing people into your stories, and your life has been absolutely incredible. So I'm just overwhelmed right now with talking to you.
As they say in theater, it reads better than it played.
I bet it did.
They're fun to read about, but they're not really interesting to watch. That's how they say some plays. That would be my life story too, I think. It read better than it played.
See, like you've had quite a life, and it started, from what I understand, it started in your college days. I think you met a general or something. I could be wrong about that, because I try to follow your story, but then stuff comes out of my brain, and then I forget things. So, I think your life started with the general, right? Like a general brought you in to do a project for the government. Is that right?
Well, just to be clear, I've never worked for anything like the intelligence community or anything like that. I was a student in China and a general from Laos who was there in China. I had a French girlfriend. I spoke Chinese by day, spoke French at night. And one evening I was in public, and this general from Laos heard us, came up, started speaking in French, befriended me. And so there was that, but oh, I see what you mean. You're referring to 4 years later, I was studying graduate economics and development economics. And there was a kind of a peace mission to Vietnam,
right?
And a general who was who was in charge of reestablishing relations asked me to go, and I was declared to the government. So the Vietnamese, the government hosted me, and they showed me around. And the idea was for me to find a way to spend a few hundred thousand dollars so the U.S. government could establish its sincerity in wanting to re-engage and revive relations with Vietnam. But because of that, and I did that, and I was identified to the Vietnamese, and hence the USSR at that time is doing this little favor. That meant that I was identified to the KGB, which means I've never really had anything to do with the exotic parts of the government or the CIA or any of that stuff people imagine. It's more like I was called a designated expert, and they could use me on occasion to do something to do with peace. I've had some little role like that.
That's an honor, I would think, to be asked by
great
a
honor
government
of my life.
official. Like if General Flynn would come up to me today and say, Amber, I want you to help with peace, the fact that General is asking me to help out, that would be a huge honor for me.
Yeah.
And let me ask you about China, because we know how China is now, but when you were in China, was it like it is today? Was it that bad like it is today in China, or was it a little different? What was it like in China?
Great questions. Gosh, Amber, you've really done your homework. Yes, I went to China in 83. I grew up probably on too many kung fu movies and kind of always imagined myself the reincarnation of Shaolin monk. And I had this great fascination since I was a child with China, studied it in college, and then went there in 83. Spent a year and a half there, or the half a year in Southeast Asia after that in Thailand. It was quite poor. It was just opening its doors and accepting the West to allow Western students to come. I was in that first wave. And you know what's funny? I look back, something funny has. So I've always admired them. And in my generation, just like if you go back a few generations, I know Americans felt great admiration for the Christian missionaries who went there. Mm-hmm. In general, were good people who had sort of an ambition of trying to raise and help China. Well, there's an old saying, some journalist said 100 years ago, the difference between Russians and Chinese is when Americans meet Russians, we don't love each other. And when Russians and Americans meet, we don't love each other. But when we meet Chinese, we love each other. There's always been this affinity. And in my generation, those who like stayed on with the Chinese and joined the IMF or the World Bank and engaged with China and tried to help, you know, we used to grow up hearing, hey, remember, if you didn't eat all your food, hey, remember those poor kids struggling in China. Mm-hmm. So it was really sort of part of the mission of my generation to engage with and help take this wonderful civilization, which we knew had fallen on hard times for 500 years, mm-hmm. and be the ones who opened the... But I'm reminded of Napoleon said that China is a sleeping dragon, and woe to the nation that wakes that dragon. Here, we thought for 50 years we were taking the newest country and the oldest civilization and combining and trying to create something great together. Mm-hmm. But it sure looks like they've turned into they have other imperatives.
Yeah, I found out that they've infiltrated the United States from the inside out. They knew they couldn't get us head on, so they come from the inside to take us over. Now, one of the most fascinating speeches that I found from you is I was watching you in December of the Reawaken America tour, and you gave 7 different stories in a 40-minute span, and you did a phenomenal job. But one thing I wanted to talk to you about,
yeah,
because...
time to stew about those pieces and see how they all fit together.
Well, I've been replaying it, you know, periodically, because there's stuff you said that has stuck inside of me, and I wanted to see if I could get more clarification on it, especially in the wake of a stolen election in 2020. You started talking about Operation Snow Globe, where you were finding out that the election system was rigged and they had already planned out who was going to be president, with Hillary Clinton being 4 years and then Michelle Obama for another 4 years after that. And Obama was going to be kind of running things under Hillary. Like, so my question to you is, and hopefully you can answer it, because I don't know how much you're allowed to say or not allowed to say, but it made me think when you said that was the plan, that we've had a selection process and not an election process in possibly decades. Is that true from your experience?
I am afraid at this point that if I were treating this like a corporation and a public company, such as I used to run, that has obligations to the public to announce stuff, and if I discovered that our systems had this much cattywampus in it, I would have long ago had to put out a statement that says, wait a second, those numbers we've given you in the past, we have to disclaim that we don't know. We've discovered big errors in our systems, that we give us 30 days to investigate and we'll have an answer for you. That's how a public company CEO would have to handle this. The level of, I mean, if you paid attention to I'm sure you paid attention to Mike Lindell this weekend and what went on.
I tried to. I had an the reason why I couldn't be down there is I had a prior engagement. So in between my prior engagements, I was trying to watch it. So I'm gonna go back and rewatch the whole thing. So I'm really
Well,
caught up.
it's just overwhelming at this point. When anywhere people dig into, what they're discovering is there is nowhere near the integrity in our election systems than we are all assuming. There's nowhere near. Let that be the general lesson. And that's a huge national security vulnerability. That is a huge national security vulnerability, because now we're not just talking about maybe some, you know, dirty lumberyard in some town is going to take over the local town council because they want to get a con. No, we're talking about nation state activity. There's no way other nations say, you know, the Mesa County report number 3, or actually the DHS, to me, the intellectual debate's over. Where's my DHS report I always keep around here? Here it is. They came out with a report in June that may as well say Mike Lindell, Pat Byrne, Mike Flynn, they were all correct. This on June 3rd, they came out with a 5-page report that says these machines are riddled with 9 security failures. They aren't even.
They bold. Said that. They actually admitted that.
Oh my gosh. You haven't seen the report from June 3rd. You got
to
look up.
Can you send it to me? I mean, wasn't it the freest and fair election ever? I mean, that's what they were telling us.
The same organization that said that 18 months ago is now saying, Amber, is now saying there are 9 significant vulnerabilities. And with each one, they at the end of each one, they say, you know, an attacker could leverage this vulnerability to install malicious code, which could also spread to other machines. An attacker could use this vulnerability to disguise malicious applications on the device. An attacker could use this one to install malicious code or to escalate and or escalate privileges, blah, 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 through 9. And there are no mitigations. Normally, when there's an announcement of, oh, there's this flaw in a Microsoft package, that there's a patch you download. Here, when you click through to download, all they have is under assessment. That's because these systems are bad to the bone. They're bad in a way that you cannot patch. They're just bad to the bone. And that's the DHS. That's not crazy Pat Byrne saying that. That's the DHS on June 3rd of this year. Just look up DHS, CISA, CISA, DHS Advisability Vulnerabilities Affecting Dominion Voting Systems. And lest anyone, so first of all, sometimes I have to put up with journalists. You can't believe, I should get hazard pay or hardship pay for having
you should.
Because this is just so conclusive to anyone familiar with cyber. This is what they're saying is the government is now saying these machines are junkola. So I've talked to journalists who say, well, oh, but and now the government goes from saying the most secure election in history. They say right on the first paragraph, while these vulnerabilities present risks that should be mitigated as soon as possible, CISA has no evidence these vulnerabilities have been exploited in any elections.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Hey, so when you are a guest at the Amber Mae's house, you get luxury. And how you get luxury is I have this sleeping couch, this sleeper sofa, and you're telling me that's not luxury. It is when you put a MyPillow mattress topper on it. All my guests that have come over and stayed at my house have really enjoyed this sleeper sofa, which says a lot because they're getting to sleep on the MyPillow pillows. And you get the MyPillow mattress topper. And then it doesn't stop there with the luxury, because when you shower at the Anna Mae Show's house, you get to have a MyPillow towel. I don't have the kids using it. I just let the adults have the luxury. So the adults get to use the MyPillow and they're phenomenal. And right now there's a massive sale going on with the MyPillow towel. So you should really put luxury into your home and live it every day like Amber Mae does every day. So I have a MyPillow mattress topper on my bed. I use the MyPillow sheets, the MyPillow towels, MyPillow slippers. I live luxury and I don't have to pay the luxury price because MyPillow has promo code. So use my name, Amber, and save up to 66% off and you can live luxurious as well. So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AmberMay. Are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
It's a long way from saying the most secure election in history. They're now saying, we don't know. These actually have 9 huge failures in them. We're not telling you whether or not they've ever been used. So, well, wouldn't you agree that's quite a different position?
So different, because it was the most recent fair election. And then, you know, Mike Lindell brought up the SolarWinds hack in his event that he just had this weekend, which affected different levels of government. It wasn't just one thing. There was different levels of government that SolarWinds hack infiltrated.
They talked about that at Lindell. I missed that. This weekend, there was something on the SolarWinds. Mm-hmm. Good for them. Because the SolarWinds hack, everyone's forgotten about. That happened December 16th. It was part of our argument to the president that, Mr. President, given what the FBI and DHS themselves announced on, people forget, on October 9th, the DHS put out their annual threat to the homeland assessment, which had this big thing about Russia, China, Iran are trying to hack our election systems. Then on the 22nd of October, they put out another alert about it. Then on November 3rd, they put out something saying it had happened and other states were under attack and other nation states were joining. And then on December 16th, they put out all this stuff about the SolarWinds, which the SolarWinds things means the United Uncle Sam was hacked straight through to the teeth, is what that means. So given that set of circumstances, all we were saying was, Mr. President, we think you have the authority to order a quick investigation that'll take, if you let us interface with the DHS, will let us take, you know, a week, and we'll get it done. And we just want to look at some hard drives, we'll open up live stream, open up some ballot boxes, the whole thing could have been exercised in a week. And as I pointed out, Mr. President, if we don't find what we think we're going to, we wanted to look on the hard drives primarily, mm-hmm. to find just what they did find in Mesa County. Remember, the one place citizens have gotten to look at an election database was Tina Peters, mm-hmm. Jeff O'Donnell, that whole story, Mesa County, Colorado. And they found exactly our worst nightmare, a cloaked script that woke up and switched the whole election around. So the one place we got to look, we found, you know, so now the DHS is saying it's absolutely true. These are super vulnerable. The one place we got to look at an election database, we found the worst thing possible. The 6 places we want to look, 5 of them blocked us from looking. And one of them, Arizona, the Senate got a subpoena. Yes. The people blocked it for 5 months.
Right.
And then the night before they had to turn the machine over, they deleted the election database. Mm-hmm.
Yep, they did. But we also found out from that audit that we were also hacked too. We found out from that audit that we were hacked. Arizona machines were hacked. We found that out. And it's like, okay.
I consider it a proven, a settled question. Mm-hmm. Anyone who doesn't get that joke, how that constellation of facts lined up. Our elections, but here's the thing, and back to your initial question, Amber, I think that this may have been going on for nearly 2 decades. I think that there may be, maybe our country is not changing as much as we are looking at. And maybe this is actually going on at a smaller level and seat by seat across 2 decades. And this isn't just old fashioned Tammany Hall, you know, cheating. This is like industrial cheating through which somebody is trying to take over the Republic through corruption.
So it's forces
of corruption trying to take over the Republic. The Supreme Court's going to eventually have to act and treat this, you know, remember that they're a co-equal third branch of government, and treat this just like they did when Black people were being excluded from voting through various trickery. It's terrible. It's a horrible part of American history, but we're experiencing it again. This because election fraud is voter suppression. Everyone's got to remember, when you somebody gets 1,000 fake votes in the system, that's 1,000 real citizens whose votes are getting canceled. That's, and it just isn't being done like it was done in the 50s with German shepherds keeping people away from the voting booth. It's being done differently. So it's a horrible thing, but our country may be being taken over by a corrupt and sinister force through corrupt election systems.
That's what I think, because John McCain, I don't know who voted for him all those decades. So to me, I think we've had voter fraud in Arizona for a long time, because I'd turn around and I'd ask people, did you vote for John McCain? Did you vote for John McCain? Everyone would say, no, I didn't vote for John McCain. Everyone wanted John McCain out because he wasn't doing anything for Arizona. I mean, I started back in Obama time, I started questioning our elections just because I didn't know anybody. Like, everyone was so upset about the Obamacare thing, and he got reelected. I was like, how did he get reelected? Nobody even knew the man. And all of a sudden he becomes the president. And then I couldn't believe he made the second term. And I couldn't believe over and over again, John McCain kept winning his seat. Like, things started not making sense to me. Like, how is this possible? I don't know anybody who wanted to keep that man. And so that's, I started getting suspicion that when 2020 happened, it really solidified to me, okay, we really do have election fraud. And so when you were working with the FBI with these really bad characters like Comey and all them, and you found out about Operation Snow Globe, was that the first time you came across or found out about election fraud in our country?
Well, let me explain. I don't normally work with the FBI. I'm like an intellectual who sometimes reads books and is asked to read some books and give a talk on something. And that's my, but I did help the FBI go after Wall Street 15 mm-hmm. years ago, somewhat. That's right. And I did end up in this mess, but I'm trying not to disparage their name. I feel terrible because I think that in general, that's probably a fine group of people.
I think the lower level FBI are probably fine.
I'm not sure it's lower upper. Everybody thinks that. I'm not sure it's just that. I think even in the upper, there are patriots. And I think it has to do with people get, whether they get to the upper by rising from below or getting parachuted in from above. I think the ones who are getting parachuted in politically across the government are generally, I think, more of the problem. On the other hand, I've known some people at that level and they were wonderful, patriotic Americans. Mm-hmm. But in general, the ones who rise up from below, those are the great ones. Those are in mm-hmm. general. Anyway, what they were doing, they were involved in a bunch of mischief and at the highest levels. Well, we're seeing it now. They're seeing it now. But they were involved in the Bureau was definitely being weaponized by some people for political espionage. And that's what I've talked about before, where, and I'll be clear, I don't know if Hillary took a bribe, but I was asked to take part in, I was asked to facilitate a bribe for her. And I did so facilitate. I wasn't in the room when it happened, so I can't say what happened, but I do know that afterwards it became clear. Oh, and the other thing, although I said Obama and such, those were just the names used with me. And it is not out of the question by a long shot that those names were used with me in order to get me to do it. At the end of the day, I hate to tell you guys, I would have done this if they told me to do it. They told me to just set Hillary up. I would have done it. If they had told me to do it to Trump back then, I would have done it. If they told me to do it to Obama, I would have done it.
Is that because you felt like you were doing the right thing for the country?
Yeah, I still basically thought I was trying to help an honest organization, and I trusted them and whatever direction they gave me. Mm-hmm. I guess more fool I.
Well, you're like the rest of us. I mean, we never would have thought our elections were stolen or the FBI couldn't be trustworthy. Like, you're with the rest of us. I mean, it's been a shock to all of Americans.
Yeah, I've been on this caper for about 17 years. I got crosswise with Wall Street because I came across some shenanigans going on and I started talking about it back 20 years ago. And I became averse to Wall Street. And I still thought at the time the world worked like it does in the Pelican Brief, which is where Julia Roberts figures out something some crooks are doing. She drafts it up. I think she puts it on the internet and the Washington Post swoops in, the DOJ swoops in, and all the forces of good go to work and fix things. That's not how the world really works. when you really figure something out, like I did about Wall Street in 05, 04, all the forces of corruption expose themselves to try to strangle you. So that's why I had this whole sort of extra thing. Anyway, so I've been seeing this since back then, that Washington is very deeply corrupt. It's not that the people come in every day wanting to do a bad job, but there's a lot of corruption. And I think in general, it comes in from the political class that has been parachuted in from above, especially. So every country works this way. You have the actual apparatus, then you have the commissar, the political appointee who runs the institution. And that's natural. But you have to be afraid of the commissars ever burrowing in and becoming the senior executives. And that's been going on. I think it was actually Reagan who broke the, there used to be a taboo against doing that. There was a taboo. If you came in as a political appointee, you came in, you served your country, and you left. It became sort of a generation or more ago, it became a way for people to get to the top without spending the decades in the service of whatever the service. And that's, I think, probably the so it isn't the whole elite. It's the elite. And even among that group, I think there, I know there are good ones and there are bad ones. So, but that's really where I think the problems are.
And so, like, I was listening to your interview with Epoch Times, and it was phenomenal. I learned a lot during that. I had no idea about some of the things that happened when you and General Flynn and Sidney Powell went and talked to the president that day. And I appreciate the fact that you guys wanted to look into it. And then the president let you look into it, because there was that executive order that said if there was foreign interference, then he could do something. And I don't know exactly what that something was. And one thing that kind of made me sad about the president is because his own White House attorneys weren't giving him the information. You were saying how they were trying to push him out because you had contacts in the White House. No matter where that man turned, he was getting stabbed in the back. Absolutely. No matter what, left, right, it didn't matter. There was no one for him. It was hard for him to know who to trust, because no matter where he went, people were backstabbing him. And I can't imagine why he'd ever want to run again, because he was the best thing for the American people, but he was the worst thing for the corrupt DC. And they attacked him ferociously. So why didn't he enact his executive order once you guys found out Iran did participate in our elections, there was foreign interference? How come you didn't just go ahead and execute that, if you have any idea about that?
That's great series of questions, Amber. First, let me mention, I would not do such a thing against him now if directed, because I've seen enough to know. But at the time in 2015, 2016, that's how I thought. I think he's been treated terribly. I think that basically I love the people who love him. And I think that he's really shown, made some people show their real true colors, and probably gave us that may be his great benefit in American history. He made some people show their true colors half a decade before they would have otherwise. Mm-hmm. He was surrounded by snakes. His younger staff loved him. But I heard, so I was started swimming around at the edge of his administration, let's say November 2020. And I was in touch with staffers. And what I started hearing right away is half the White House senior leadership wants him out and is giving us direction. Just get the president to concede, just get him to get in. Pat Cipollone in particular, his general counsel, was telling the staff that since November 4. Also, I'm told, other members of his family, but I'm not sure, or a member of his family, I won't say by blood or
right.
But even by the time by December 10th or so, or 5th to 10th, somewhere in there, Mark Meadows started joining that, telling people, just get the president, help me get the president into transition mode. And as I recount in my book, which I'm revising and filling in, I kind of dashed it off in the days afterwards. I'm now like expanding whole big sections. That's all filled in. You'd think that it's kind of funny now that you've seen that Epoch Times interview where I've come out and that meeting. Do you see why I think that meeting is ultimately the meeting that 100 years from now people should be studying and trying to understand what was said? And here I've been for 18 months offering, hey, or, you know, for nine a year offering to come and tell this to Congress. I've been offering to the Washington Post, New York Times, anybody to walk through that story, all the mainstream media. They would not, from an actual participant in the conversation, would not. Oh, listen, I've walked them through that story in care. They will not publish it. Why do you think that is, Amber? Why do you think they will not publish the eyewitness account of me?
They don't want the truth coming out. They don't want the truth coming. Donald Trump is a threat to their plan. He ruined their plan. He woke up the sleeping giant, and they will do anything to take him out. And the sad thing is, if they do, that'll be their worst mistake, because the American people will rise up in a way they've never seen before, and that will be their biggest regret that they have ever done. They've messed with the president, and had they not messed with that 2020 election, most of us would not have known the corruption. That was their biggest mistake. Their second biggest mistake was the facade of COVID-19, the bioweapon they put on the American people in the world. Those are their two detriments that they did, and it woke up the sleeping giant, and now we can't unsee what we've seen.
I love that. I love that. Let's remind our viewers, when we use words about rising up and such, we are always emphasizing civil.
Right.
Because I got to break it to you. We would have won on January 6th. There was a plan. I felt pretty good. I thought our odds were 50 to 60%. The plan was, turns out there were a dozen senators and about 140 congressmen. I didn't know until much later how many were going to go along with it. I much later learned it was like a dozen senators and 140 House members to object to endlessly to the electoral votes from certain from the six obvious states, with the idea that putting Pence in the corner where eventually he would say, okay, I'm now going to remand this issue to the states for 1 week. And then the states could have looked at everything, could have held hearings for 2 days, could have recommitted, could have voted their electoral votes. And you know what? If they had at that point recommitted them to Biden and said, if Arizona had looked at it, what state are you in, Amber?
Arizona.
If Arizona's legislature had looked at it on January 9th, had another hearing or a day or two of hearing, looked at it on the 9th and said, what would that have been? No, the 12th. Monday the 12th, and said, you know what? We've looked at it. Yeah, there does seem to be some fraud. We better tighten up our systems, but we really don't know enough. And we're just going to leave them our electoral votes with Joe Biden. That would have been just fine. If they had been able to look at all the data again that had been serviced by then and recommit their electoral votes, if they wanted to choose Biden, let them choose Biden. That's how the Constitution wants it. The Constitution wants the state legislatures really to be the courts in that matter, be the court of who won. And we don't want to change that, but I think that if they'd had a chance to look at it again, there's a number of states that would have switched. I only found out much later, a number of states actually contacted the Department of Justice for guidance about the legislatures wanted to meet and reconsider who they assigned their electoral votes to. That was actually presented. That came into the Department of Justice, I believe, on that Sunday night. I was not aware of this much, much later, but that Sunday night, like January 2nd, I think it would have been, there were four or five states asking the DOJ for such guidance. So I think that would have been a way consistent with the Constitution to have gotten this all done. I don't know. Does that make me like... Why? What? No one will explain to me what's so extremist about that.
Nothing extremist about it. I think that Mike Pence must be with the deep state or with the cabal or whoever, because that would have been the right thing to do. There was enough of us that questioned the election. The least he could have done was that. And he betrayed the American people at that point. Had it been the Democrats, that Democratic vice president would have done exactly what you're talking about to do. He would have done that. But no, like if it was if their party conflicted and they didn't believe, why the vice president backstabbed our president and the American people that day is beyond me, because there was people.
He's a skunk is why, but there's another lesson to take from this. See what this would have played out. This might have taken hours to play out, 8-10 hours. And what could have happened is if the million or 2 million or whoever, how many people would have just peacefully waited outside and shown their support as this process played out and sung and chanted and so forth and just peacefully waited outside, I think there's a good chance that plan I just walked through would have played out. I think 50% or more. It was because of what happened on January 6th that once all that happened, everybody, all the politicians backed away and threw in the towel, almost all the politicians, almost all the senators.
And the sad thing is that was such a setup because the Trump supporters didn't do it. It later found out that you had the Antifa and all them that dressed up as John Sullivan, MAGA.
I think there's some anti-Trump Republican elements involved in it too, frankly. I think it's part Fed insurrection, part John Sullivan, part Ray Epps, and part some rhino elements behind it. Anyway, but remember the old Scottish saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Yes, they got tricked into it. MAGA got tricked into it and they did too much and so forth. But don't let that happen to you again. Remember the bigger picture is don't get tricked into something again. And they're coming for you. They're going to try. I think their only strategy at this point is trying to drive violence.
Yeah.
And our strategy has to be peace, 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 peace. And we will totally turn the other cheek. You got about 77 days to turn the other cheek. Yeah, 77 days. You got 11 weeks in a wake up to turn the other cheek and take all that anger, whatever you're feeling, put it into election day, not just voting, but working in the election booth. In fact, you should be getting involved now, cleaning up. You know what's having a huge effect? What came out of Lindell yesterday, what everybody picks up is the voter rolls. For them to stuff the ballot box, they first need to stuff the voter rolls. Get involved with local organizations that are cleaning up voting rolls. That suffocates their ability to commit fraud. It suffocates it. So, and work on election day. So we have a way through this, but it is not through anything rising up. Even if they put Donald Trump in, if they handcuffed him today, I'd be telling people, keep yourself together.
Yeah, you have to stay peaceful because you're right. They're going to turn that. That's their last play they have on us. And that would be a very big detriment to our movement.
Don't fall for it again. I'm sorry to say, I know that it wasn't. I agree with you about what happened on January 6th, or at least what happened is demands a real neutral bipartisan inquisition, I think, or investigation. But all that said, what is unambiguous about January 6th is MAGA did get carried on well and did make a mistake. And if we're right, they got tricked into things. So that's one lesson. But even if they got tricked into things, learn your lesson and don't let it happen again. They're going to be doing the same thing for the next 77 days, trying to trick MAGA into making something that makes us look like the bad guys. So don't fall for it again.
So when the plan that you had with General Flynn, it was a beautiful plan. And Sidney Powell was going to be like a special counsel, I think. And then that changed. Was that because Rudy Giuliani said something to the president? Because she was, and then she wasn't.
I only found it a few months ago, and I told the J6 committee, they asked me that. I found out just a few months ago what happened, which was that because I saw Rudy for lunch in January, first time we'd seen each other here. And he's a wonderful man. He's a wonderful
gentleman. Right.
I love the guy. I was probably a little harsh on him, harsher than I should have been in my book. He's a wonderful fellow and very sharp. And he said, look, within 3 minutes of you, 2 or 3 minutes of you and General Flynn and Sidney walking out, I'd gotten the president to change his mind. I told him that we're all going to end up in prison if you go forward with this. We can't do this. And so in the book, I describe that we kind of dawdled on the sidewalk for a couple minutes. And then we saw Mark Meadows and Rudy emerge from a different exit and leave. He let me know that even by the time that he did that, he had already talked the president out of it. So we went home that night still thinking it was going forward or something was going forward. We went back. I forgot this and I had not until after I talked to the J6 committee, I did not really talk to people around me. I wanted my memories to be my own. But afterwards, I talked to somebody who reminded me, we came back from that meeting and said, we have to come up with an even more slimmed down plan. An even more light footprint plan.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
What if I told you that there was a beauty product that also helped block fat? Would you be interested? I know you would, because it's something I'm interested in. The older I got, the more wrinkles that are showing up on the forehead, under the eyes. I got this Timeless box. It's amazing because the oil goes on after I clean up my face. The oil goes on and it helps with wrinkles. It helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. It's great for deterring insect bites. You gotta try it. It's amazing at that. And it's super easy. You just put it on your face and it just helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. Not only does the oil do that, but it also blocks fat. So put a dropper in your mouth right before you have a meal and you could be stopping fat right before the get-go. So if you wanna lose weight, and you want to have a beautiful looking face, or if you have skin, anything, a skin that you're just like, I don't like this, then get the Timeless Pack at thetimelesspack.com. Use my name, Amber May. Use promo code Amber May and save almost half off on the Timeless Pack. So that's thetimelesspack.com, promo code Amber May, and save some money for getting your wrinkles and fat loss.
It's because of a mutual friend of ours that I was actually connected with you. Michael, the artist, the Commander's artist, he's a friend of yours and he's done some work for you. He's designed the logos on this show. And the Commander's artist, he's a great guy, isn't he? He speaks very highly of you.
Now, Michael is a terrific American patriot. And if anybody, I hope that you will promote his website and him, he does the artwork that he does, very, very patriotic. And one of my sort of big things with Michael is Michael came into my life through this political persecution journey that my family and I went through. And he stepped up in a big way to help us raise some money for our legal defense. And Michael and I have become very good friends, and he's a terrific, faithful man. And I love him.
So visit thecommandersartist.com today. Use promo code Amber and save some money at checkout.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So he talked him out of it, and I guess he thought it was too, it was too out there. I thought that what we would, if what we had found, which we could have found in a few hours, I was saying a few days, if we had found what was in fact found when someone found an election database in Mesa County, Colorado, the whole thing would have been over. The whole thing, if we'd found out, we would have had the answer by December 22nd, 23rd. If we found this in Maricopa or in six counties we wanted to look at, or even found it in one, it basically would have changed the whole conversation. We have now found that, yes, there are hidden scripts changing election database. Really, at that point, it would have been, at that point, it still could have been put in the hands of the state legislatures. At some point, it would have been a court case, I imagine. At some point, it's above my pay grade. But
why didn't he, at that point, enact his executive order? Because you did find that Iran was involved in the elections.
Well, that was the funny part. It wasn't us finding. What we went in to show him was that the DHS had come out and said on October 22nd, they put out a statement that Iran is trying to hack our elections. And then on October 30, updated on the morning of November 3rd, they put out another statement that says Iran has successfully hacked one of our states. There are other states under attack and there are other nation states joining in. So once he had those two things, I would say the president could authorize, then let's have a quick investigation. Let's look at the election. Let's have a quick DHS, take an image of the database and look and see if you find just what they found here. That's how that was really needed. Didn't have to be any more monstrous than that. And then when you add on top of that, wait a second, add on, think of it as a scale with pebbles on each side. Now add the pebble, which is more like a brick, of on December 18th, the DHS, FBI, and Office of the Director of National Intelligence come out and say, Uncle Sam has been hacked straight through to the teeth. 425 out of 500 corporate Fortune 500 companies used SolarWinds. All five branches of the military use SolarWinds. All the three-letter agencies use SolarWinds. It turns out it was completely porous, and they suspected it was, they did announce that they suspected it was Russian intelligence, which in April 15th, 2021, they confirmed it was the Russian their version of the CIA behind it. So Russian intelligence hacked everything within the United States government and the militaries, and 425 out of 500 Fortune 500 companies. Here's the funny part. Shall I continue, or you want me to break?
No, continue.
Now it gets, if this is too dolphin speak, but I like it when our side knows the facts. Mm-hmm. Knows the facts. That SolarWinds has two major products. One is called Orion. And Orion is the network security product. And Orion, it's okay. The network security product. And a network security product is like an organization has a computer network. You have this, it monitors the network. It protects it. It checks for intrusions. The guy who maintains the network, the help desk or whatever, has that tool. So that's Orion. Well, that's what got hacked. So everybody on this, if you had this protecting your corporation, the people who had the keys to the hack could come in, could read everything. They were inside as inside gets. You have to assume that everything. So there were some manufacturers of, pardon me, election equipment asked, do you use SolarWinds? And one CEO, I think it was up in Michigan, said under oath, we do not use the SolarWinds Orion product. They asked him about SolarWinds, but he's very careful to say, we do not use the SolarWinds Orion product. Here's why. SolarWinds has a second product. It's called ServeU. And ServeU is, without being too technical, you know, we send each other, when Amber, if you and I want to send each other some information, we put in a file, we attach it to an email. Big corporations at this point are talking to each other constantly, you know, updating their computers or their servers are updating each other constantly with inventory available and all that's happening now. All our corporations are wired together. When they talk to each other, they don't send each other emails. They speak to each other through something called FTP.
I know what that is because we use it at the rate. I used to work at a radio station and we used to get big files, big shows, and we had to use a file transfer protocol, FTP, in order to get their shows downloaded to our network.
Yes. And so how that's work is their show, they have a server that's called an FTP server, and they were putting their show on it. And when you wanted the show, when you were giving it the commands, your computer was going to their FTP server, mm-hmm. kind of tickling it with the right code and information. And then it was downloading this big 4 megabyte file to you. Absolutely. That was the show.
Yeah, so that's we did it all the time.
So SolarWinds makes an FTP server product. And I won't get any more technical word that we're there called ServeU. ServeU is used throughout the election systems. Dominion uses ServeU, the ServeU product. They use ServeU is used, the election systems, when their computers speak to each other, speak on file transfer on FTP servers. They use ServeU. So when he said we don't use the SolarWinds Orion product, a fuller answer would have been, but we do use the ServeU product. And here's the real punchline. The ServeU product is built on top of Orion as a platform. It's built on the Orion product.
Whoa.
So you have, which means that everyone who had the key to this, to the Orion hack, also had the key to hack into any company using ServeU, which means all the election systems, all the election systems are, anyone could have used that that Orion hack to come into an election system, edit the database, edit the SQL database, not even leave a trace because they're rolling over the audit logs. Anyway, maybe I'm getting too technical. But
No.
That's good. How you got so this stuff was that SolarWinds hack absolutely did compromise the 2020 election. And there's a whole bunch of people have so avoided that subject. And that's why, because it's gossamer thin, the explanation that separates them. It's that easy to poke through, as I just explained.
And I'd encourage my listeners to go to frankspeech.com and go look at the Mike Lindell Truth Summit that he just did over the weekend, because he talks about this very thing and so much more. So you got to check that out. So how did you meet General Flynn? I met General Flynn through Clay. How did you meet General Flynn?
General Flynn had a mutual, and I had a mutual friend in common. The man's deceased now, but he was a fellow who played that we both knew in our lives. And so we knew of each other I knew of him 14 years ago. I don't know if he knew it of me, but we began speaking about 2 years ago.
Oh,
wonderful man.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a really good guy. And they've attacked him, you know, of course, because he's one of the good ones. So they go in and attack, and I'm like, the guy is amazing. If they really knew you and the rest of the people and Donald Trump and everybody, they would change the way they feel about these people, because they're all really good individuals. And
Flynn's a wonderful man. He has no interest in, I don't want to speak for him, but he's not doing this because he wants something out of it.
Right.
I'm sure he had lots of other things he had planned for himself and his wife to be doing at this point. He was retired, golfing. And said, this is a labor of duty for all of us. I've had totally different plans. This is something we're doing because we feel this isn't just a stolen election, like in the sense of a Kennedy versus Nixon situation. Right. We think this is part of a larger plan to take over and disrupt the United States. And it's a national security issue.
It's true. We've had a color revolution happen right in front of our very eyes. I mean, they installed their own government, and look what we've gone through in the last 2 years alone. We've had a bioweapon on all of us. We are losing our buying power. Gas is so expensive. Groceries are so expensive. They're trying to demolish the middle class. They want a big upper reigning class and everyone else be the slaves. They're trying to take away all of our rights. I wouldn't be surprised, Patrick, if they somehow get somebody to do a mass shooting, because the ends to them justify the means. And if they can take our Second Amendment right away, then it didn't matter how many kids they killed. It didn't matter how many adults they killed, because they got what they wanted, getting the Second Amendment rights away. It wouldn't surprise me if somewhere down the line it comes out that it was all a planned thing with the mass shootings. I mean, it's been one thing after another with the attack on the American people and trying to destroy our rights by taking our vote, at the very minimum, taking our right of free speech, where we're canceled off YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. And thank God for people like Mike Lindell and President Trump to give us a platform where we can speak freely, and Rumble, where we can speak freely. I mean, they're dismantling but it's not going to work, because a lot of us patriots are rising up and we're educating the public, and the veils lifting off of people's eyes, and people are finally seeing the truth for what things are. Did the American Project come to be with General Flynn and his brother?
General Flynn called me up last March 5th and said, well, I want to come down to Florida and let's start this together, and I'll guide you. And he advised me, and I wanted to build this near him. But I do want to thank you for bringing me on the America Project. If anyone is of a mind to come to the America Project and sign up to be a $5 a month supporter, we would love. Mike Lindell and I are, as he said to me once, you've got the ground game, I've got the air game, or something like that. We're kind of very simpatico.
Patrick, it was a blessing to me. I hope you'll come back on the show again.
I'd be honored.
Thank you.
Say, make money, money, make money, money, money.
Make money, money, make money, money, money.
Money makes the world go round. I'm the talk around town. Remy gave me the sound.
Fat pockets.
I need that Skrilla on the Rilla.
Fat pockets.
I need that Skrilla on the Rilla.
Hey. Okay, now today I'm going to talk to you about your money and how you're going to build wealth for yourself and your family. So I'm Amber May. Normally I talk about other things, but today I'm going to focus on your wealth. So when you have a traditional retirement, are you able to take money when you really need it? So let's say I've known people who really desperately needed a car. And so they thought the only way they were really going to be able to afford a car, because their budget was just so maxed out, they couldn't afford one more payment, was to get some of that money out of their retirement account. And so that's exactly what they did. But can they do so without taxes or penalties? We're going to talk about that in a second. Other people get so overwhelmed with medical bills that, you know, they just cannot sustain their quality of life and pay all their medical bills. So what do they want to do? They want to go to their retirement account and pull that money out. Well, if you pull your money out of your traditional retirement, you're going to be paying taxes and penalties. Let me show you how with us, I am with A&M Futures and First Financial Security, how you can take money out without paying taxes or penalties. It's super simple. With us, you can take out to 90% of your money and use it for anything. Whatever you want, you name it, you get to use it. Take up to 90% and use it however you want without taxes or penalties. If you want to know more about how you do that, just set up an appointment with me, Amber May, and you can do so at theambermayshow.com. I just need 15 to 20 minutes of your time, and I can show you how you can use all your money. It's not too good to be true. It's not, and when I explain it, you are going to understand it is not too good to be true. It's just our account is so much more flexible than your traditional retirement account. So if you want to an account that's going to help you be flexible, getting your money when you need it without penalties or taxes, and you want sustainable retirement, then you get to talk to us at Amber May at A&M Futures. So reach me at theambermayshow.com, hit the contact button, and I'll show you how you have access when you need your money the most. So when you have a traditional retirement, are you able to take money when you really need it? So let's say I've known people who really desperately needed a car. And so they thought the only way they were really going to be able to afford a car, because their budget was just so maxed out, they couldn't afford one more payment, was to get some of that money out of their retirement account. And so that's exactly what they did. But can they do so without taxes or penalties? We're going to talk about that in a second. Other people get so overwhelmed with medical bills that, you know, they just cannot sustain their quality of life and pay all their medical bills. So what do they want to do? They want to go to their retirement account and pull that money out. Well, if you pull your money out of your traditional retirement, you're going to be paying taxes and penalties. Let me show you how with us, I am with A&M Futures and First Financial Security, how you can take money out without paying taxes or penalties. It's super simple. With us, you can take out to 90% of your money and use it for anything. Whatever you want, you name it, you get to use it. Take up to 90% and use it however you want without taxes or penalties. If you want to know more about how you do that, just set up an appointment with me, Amber May, and you can do so at theambermayshow.com. I just need 15 to 20 minutes of your time, and I can show you how you can use all your money. It's not too good to be true. It's not, and when I explain it, you are going to understand it is not too good to be true. It's just our account is so much more flexible than your traditional retirement account. So if